This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Wrestling Right Up on Free FM, RFM, and MP. As always, I'm Grady, and live on Discord, we got Josh.
Hey!
Coming up this weekend, we have Saturday night's main event. At time of recording, we only got three matches announced. I don't know if a fourth one will be before we get there, but we can talk about these four. And I think the one with the most knock-on effect is the number one contendership for the WWE Championship at the Royal Rumble. Who will be going there to face Drew McIntyre? We had our tournament. Orton defeats Miz. Trick defeats Cardona. Damian Priest defeats Solo Sikoa, and Sami Zayn comes out on top of Ilya Dragunov, leaving us with Orton, Williams, Priest, and Zayn going head-to-head.
Pretty much exactly how we expected it to turn out. So it's not that surprising. And I really think it's Sami Zayn wins it. I could be wrong and they surprise us with the Randy Orton win, but I think Sami wins in front of his home crowd.
Yeah, I think those really are your two options, right? I don't think we're going to send a Damian Priest, Drew McIntyre match again. I think we're done there. I think Trick Williams, Drew McIntyre, as much as I'd love to see it, it doesn't feel like where they're going to go with Trick coming off of his debut straight into that shot against Drew McIntyre. I would not be mad if we got it though. And yeah, that sort of leaves you with Orton and Zayn. Both of them could put on a good match with Drew McIntyre. If it is Orton, I would suspect that Drew would retain. If it is Sami Zayn, then it really does open up the possibility for Drew to only have hold the title for a little while. He's kind of got a thing for short reigns. So, yeah, I think odds on favor definitely have to be Sami Zayn coming into this weekend.
Yeah, I would disagree with that. I think Sami is the perfect person to be his first opponent. I think if you're going to put title on Drew at this point, you're going to put it onto him until WrestleMania. I don't see you just immediately yanking it off of him. That doesn't seem right.
I would be sad if they did. But at this point, I don't know what will shock me when it comes to championship reigns. I didn't think Drew was going to get it in the first place. Now maybe I have a fear that he's going to lose it at every chance where he defends it. But I will cross my fingers and toes heading into this one. And honestly, I'd rather see Trick Williams come out of it, but I do think it will be Zayn, as you mentioned. And I guess the other match that sort of came out of that chaos where Drew McIntyre did win the championship, it was because Jacob Fatu interfered in that Three Stages of Hell match, specifically the cage match at the end, costing Cody Rhodes his championship. And they're going to go head-to-head to, I guess, hash out their differences, Jacob Fatu versus Cody Rhodes.
99% of the times I said, what do we say? Never bet against Cody Rhodes.
Mm-hmm.
I think this might be the 1%. Because Jacob Fatu just returned. He's made to look like a badass by interfering in that title match. You have to make him look important. There's no way bigger to make him look important, even if it is a dirty win, which is almost all of Cody Rhodes' losses. You can't have him get any bigger off of a win than beating Cody Rhodes.
Yeah, I can't quite figure out what they want to do with him. I think we mentioned it last week where it seemed to be getting a big face run, interferes in this match. You're like, okay, maybe he could go after Drew, keep that face run going. The match that gets booked is versus Cody Rhodes, you know, the ultimate face on SmackDown right now. And you're like, okay, maybe, but I guess Fatu's kind of just going to play that I do what I want to do, and it doesn't matter if that happens to cross a good guy or cross a bad guy, I'm just going to do it kind of role, which can work. But I agree with you. He's got to get a bit of credibility here behind this run. You don't want him to be, have a bit of a false start. Return, just immediately lose to Cody, and we all sort of go, I guess that's what we expected. If you come out of this, Jacob Fatu picks up the win over Cody. Now we're going to be talking, you're like, what do you do with Fatu? Are we having another rematch? Are we up in a stipulation? Is Fatu a serious championship threat to take the title? Is he going to go into a different main event feud? What's his place at WrestleMania? The possibilities just to open up on the other side if Fatu is the one that comes out with the win.
I think my maybe favorite option for him after he went, if he wins this match and elevates to the main event for WrestleMania, matching with Roman.
Yeah, I wouldn't hate it. Those two, fated to eventually clash. Why not do it at WrestleMania? It'll put him up against another opponent that we always say you can't bet against. So I don't know how good his odds will be going into it, but I'd definitely pay to see it.
Yeah.
The last match on the card this weekend, it is the Women's Tag Team Championships. The scene heating up with the number of tag teams floating around, all wanting a shot. Rhea Ripley, Io Sky managing to pick up those championships, holding on to them. Is it going to be a long run or is it going to be a short one as they are going up against the Judgment Day's Liv Morgan and Roxanne Perez?
It'll be a little bit longer, I will tell you that much. I think the thing we've been talking about for 2 years just got lit on Monday night, which was something we'll talk about later. But I think this match ends, I think, with Roxanne Perez laying out Liv Morgan. I think Liv is the first person ejected from the Judgment Day.
Yeah, I feel like I'm almost numb to predicting that at this point in terms of the Judgment Day split. As hype as I would be to see it, is it going to happen? We'll have to see. Obviously, on Raw, it was the Judgment Day girls standing tall of Rhea and Io, but who didn't stand tall, main event match. It was CM Punk defending that World Heavyweight Championship against Finn Balor. Ultimately, as we kind of expected, CM Punk did come out on the win, but it was a good showing for Finn.
Yep. But more importantly, he came out to his original music, which again is my flashpoint for the destruction of Judgment Day. Yeah, he had a great match. He got some respect from the current champion. I think he gets splintered off too. I have no idea what happens to JD McDonough, because JD McDonough seems to only exist if he's partnering with Finn. Then where do we go with the Dom story with the ladies?
Yeah, it's backstage segments. It seems like they're all fine, but as you say, Finn comes out, old music, gets respect from a face, can very easily see them just sort of spinning him out. Liv Morgan, as you say, probably on the downside of the other end of the court. Dominic Mysterio, don't really know what's up with him. Obviously, he does have to return back from injury, holding a couple of titles while he's gone. It's an interesting time for the Judgment Day. It does feel like they've run their course. It feels like they ran their course a little while ago. But ultimately, you got to use that to spin people out and get them more over than they were. And I think Dominic Mysterio definitely doing better on this side than he was on the other side. And hopefully Roxanne Perez, when she comes out of this, can look $1 million and we don't just slingshot Liv Morgan back up the card again, because I reckon Liv can get herself back up at any point. So I'm kind of hoping to see good things out of Roxanne with the split, if that is the way the feud is going to end up going.
I hope good things for all three of the ladies in Judgment Day, Raquel included. So hopefully they all get to be main eventers and we can raise the stakes for the main event by having more players to play with.
That is fair. We're going to have, I guess, a bit of a showcase or a bit of a decision point with Raquel and her championship match against Vakir, which I assume will happen somewhere along the lines. And that'll be her moment, hopefully for proving herself within this Judgment Day storyline. The worst case is somebody getting lost in the shuffle when the storyline does advance through. I think you pointed out JD McDonagh very likely to get lost just because he's absent at the moment. Shouldn't be, you know, a good talent, but the story's got to progress. We couldn't progress without Liv. We probably can't progress too far without Dom, but JD McDonagh probably can progress without. Alrighty, well, we're going to go into our entrance theme this week just because it is Finn Balor's theme and we just talked about him putting on a hell of a main event. So what better time than to play his music right about now? Back wrestling roundup on Free FM, RFM, and MPR. I'm Grady. He's Josh. Let's take a look at the vision. Adam Pearce sticking his nose in around the place. We saw him, you know, have a go at Bron Breakker, suspend him off, then book a match with all of the luchadors going up against the other three from the vision. Sticks his nose in there and inadvertently, I think it was probably on purpose, costing the Vision their match as Adam Pearce gets more and more involved, almost as a foil to Paul Heyman.
Yeah, it makes me wonder something, though. What if, because after everything that went down in that tag match, the last thing you see is Paul Heyman on the phone to somebody. There is a, and I hate this rumor because of who it is, but there is a rumor of somebody coming back to the company. What if it's to replace Adam Pearce as GM, which would allow Adam Pearce to actually have a short run as a wrestler, but to replace him with Chris Jericho, one of the original Paul Heyman guys?
Maybe. It's hard to tell, right? Because we've seen the authority figures get a little bit involved in the storylines. Like, okay, will this lead to him heading out? We haven't actually seen a whole lot of general manager changes lately with Pearce and Magnus, Nick Aldis, into those roles. I don't know. Right now, it seems like the numbers game is in the Vision's side. I wouldn't be mad if we got an Adam Pearce one-off in a multi-man match, joining the other side. You could do a lovely 4v4 there. Maybe at Royal Rumble. Don't really know how everybody's pieces are going to fall at the moment. Obviously, Bron Breakker, one of the favorites to win that Royal Rumble match, could be busy at WrestleMania. You can never count out Logan Paul. Don't really know what they're doing with Austin Theory. But yeah, there's a lot of chips around the place, and I wouldn't hate it if he got physically involved in the ring with the feud. But yes, I am 100% going to skip over the Chris Jericho returning part and run away at a million miles an hour. And actually talk about something sadder. As it appeared on Raw in the match with El Grande Americano, that Javon Evans may have copped an injury, and that his main roster debut might be on a bit of a hold.
Yeah, not great. Hopefully it's just like a stinger or something that he can come back in a couple of weeks from. That's not something serious. If it is something serious, oh boy.
But that will
also allow them to reset it.
True. I think, obviously, whenever anybody's injured, you don't want it to be anything serious. And it's really bad timing with Javon coming up. He had so much steam behind him with his run on NXT, with his match at the last Saturday night's main event. And it seemed like he could be positioned pretty well heading into the Royal Rumble, heading into WrestleMania. Not for a world championship match, but still for a showcase in those upcoming 4 months. So I really hope this doesn't end up derailing that. So yeah, all the best to Javon, and hopefully nothing serious and we can see him back in the ring soon. Looking at Gunther. Absolutely monster of a run, retires Goldberg, retires John Cena, and it seems as though now careers is all he wants. Titles are no fun. He's won them all. He's been a champion for like 95% of the days he's been hired by WWE. Now he just wants to collect careers.
Exactly what we were kind of expecting when coming off the Cena retirement. I think he gets cocky here. I think he gets overconfident, and AJ Styles beats him, because I don't think he did say he was going to retire this year. I don't think it's January. Your retirement's going to be in January. Or February 1st.
It'd be interesting. I'm with you, right? He did say he's going to wrap it up this year, but it feels so short. And maybe it's just because we had the whole John Cena retirement tour. It just feels like we didn't get enough AJ. We want those couple more TNA matches that maybe they were hinting at. And there's a little bit more juice in the tank. And it would definitely shock me if this was AJ Styles' last match and Gunther just continues on a tear. This feels like the one, as you say, he gets cocky. AJ Styles comes out with the win. We move on a little bit and maybe we revisit it around September, October time. And it's sort of the one that got away for Gunther. You know, I tried to put you away. I tried to end your career, but I failed. I'm back to try again. And maybe that's where you can do it. Put it on ice a little bit.
Yeah, I kind of think he retires probably in, I honestly think, June or July. I don't think it's that long.
Mm-hmm.
But I really think if there's a pay-per-view that TNA is holding around WrestleMania time, I could see him wrestling there as his like last TNA match. It doesn't feel like this is the match to end him on right now.
Yeah, I'm trying to pull up the dates really quickly and zoom through. I know that it looks like they've got Sacrifice on March 27th. Could possibly be the go. Their big one, obviously, Slammiversary, usually in July. Maybe could hold out that far. Yeah, we'll have to see how it all goes. But I think we're in agreement that AJ Styles' last match probably isn't the Royal Rumble. Could still be, just probably isn't. And then somebody whose career is wrapping up to somebody's career who's just kicking off. I feel like I'd be remiss to talk about stuff this weekend, not mention Kit Wilson just absolutely popping off out of nowhere. Felt maybe potentially a little lukewarm last week with his singles music and his coming out, and it was anything but this week. The crowd were firmly behind the guy.
It's good. Time that you have a tag team that one of them gets seriously injured in, it's always a wonder of what they're going to do with the other one. Occasionally, they'll see what they can get from them from a singles perspective. Occasionally, they'll do what they did with the Usos a few years back and just stick one of them on commentary until the other comes back. But I want to see what they can do with Kit and see what kind of character they can progress with and see what we have. I don't think we have a main eventer, but there's nothing wrong with being an upper mid-card gatekeeper type character. Regardless of what some of the internet thinks.
Yeah, I agree that I think he's got a little bit of a ceiling. It feels like his character, and especially his involvement in the storylines at the moment, were just to provide a bit of a foil to Matt Cardona's return. And I'm hoping after this reaction that they sort of prove that even if that's how they're going to stick with it for the storyline and have Matt go over, that afterwards Kit Wilson can get a bit of something behind him. For me, obviously, it's a European crowd, so they can, you know, pick some guys and get behind them a bit more than the stateside crowds. But will he be able to continue that momentum? Will they be able to strike while the iron is hot is the real question here. Or will they let him sort of cool down a little bit, lose to Cardona, and then eventually just flutter out, which is not what I want to see at all.
I can completely see him in a few months after being built a United States title ring. Not completely out of the question, in my opinion.
No, definitely not. I think that's kind of where he, I think, would sit pretty well when I look at the other talents that are sitting around that United States championship scene at the time, you know, Ilya, Carmelo, and co. I can definitely see him breaking into that group. It's just it's a highly competitive group at the moment. SmackDown's upper mid-card, lower main event scene is stacked. Obviously, we had this tournament to see who was going to face Drew. It features 8 guys, none of which are the previous champion or the guy who's feuding with the previous champion, which brings you up to 10 guys. And then you got Drew himself. That's 11. It is pretty well stocked at the top. And so, yeah, looking forward to seeing what they can pull off with Kit Wilson, though, for sure.
Yep. Yep. And a lot of the upper mid card can be funneled into the mid cards in the main card. So, and then you could also randomly, because they love to do this with WWE, you can throw people in together and make a tag team out of them and feed the tag team division too.
Yeah, always possible. Before we run out of time, I do want to talk about a bit of a special attraction. We got United States champion Carmelo Hayes had a bit of a match with England's own TNA X Division champion Leon Slater. First off, continuing that United States Championship Open Challenge, very happy. But also Slater getting another banger to show himself off before his inevitable WWE contract is signed.
Yeah. Hey, he had visa problems and couldn't come work for TNA on their debut show. WWE said, "Hey, we got you. We'll put you on SmackDown. Give you a payday." And he put on a banger match with Carmelo Hayes. So, yeah, it is only a matter of time, just like it was a matter of time for Joe Hendry to sign with WWE. It is a matter of time for him to come. I think his contract runs throughout the year. I'm not exactly sure when it ends. But yeah, as soon as it's over, he's definitely coming. And I think he'll be an NXT I think he'll be NXT champion probably maybe a year and a half from now.
Yeah, he feels
Maybe
like
a
one of
year.
those guys who can just sort of rock up on NXT and propel straight into the main event scene and potentially even capture that championship straight away, depending how integrated he was into the feuds at the time. Like, we saw Jordan Grace and we saw Joe Hendry get very integrated in NXT before coming over. Almost to the point that you could blink and not notice that they switched from being a TNA talent to a WWE talent. And if he's already floating around that scene, we saw him in the big number one contenders match earlier as well in the year. So I think he could just jump on in. It all just comes down to contract timings, as you say. I'm not on down low with all of the contract timings. I don't have a little book next to me to tell me everything, but I am excited for Leon Slater to officially become a WWE superstar for sure.
Yeah. And the biggest thing he has in his advantage is the fact that he's only 21. He is so young and so talented that he is going to me that he is going to move up through NXT. Roughly with him working in TNA too, he won't need that much of an adjustment because TNA doesn't work that differently that much than what WWE does. So he could only spend a year in NXT. And then as a 23, 24-year-old, debut on the main roster. He has a chance
Definitely.
of beating Randy Orton's record. It'd be interesting if he got to beat Randy Orton for the record.
Hey, let's book that in a year from now. But that is all we've got time for this week. It's been great talking to you.
Baby.
Visit our Facebook page, facebook.com/wrestlingrndup, our Twitter page, twitter.com/wrestlingrndup, or our YouTube page, youtube.com/wrestlingrndup. And we will catch you next week. Got no time to waste. Tonight's the big goal. Strike quick but creep slow. The competition is absent the moment that we show. Countdown from three, go. Press X to reload. Deadly still try to topple the kingdom that we own. Outnumbered but outgunning. We're fearless and crowd stunning. This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.